When we look into the Word of God, we're invited to trust the Lord. We see that over and over again. Trust the Lord, right? And we know that we should trust Him at all times. That goes without saying. However, there are times where it causes us to trust the Lord in certain circumstances. You also see that very clearly. Maybe you can help me out tonight. What are some circumstances that we see, specifically even in the Psalms, that we see a call to trust in the Lord? What kind of predicament and circumstances are we faced? And we're not using, you know, God like a spare tire. We're already walking with the Lord. This is a man or woman of God that's walking with God, and we're right with God. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. However, certain things have come to pass or taken place, and we're asked to commit our ways to the Lord. What are some of those things?
Like the enemies. Enemies coming.
Yeah. When enemies come and surround us, or persecution. What else? Yes.
When I'm afraid.
Yep. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I think this is a big one, isn't it? In what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I think it's a big one. The psalmist says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I mean, when you think about it, what kind of fears? Okay, fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of persecution, fear of loss of health, maybe, income, friends, even your own life. There's threats, you know, toward our life. Something's, coming my way. Fear of missing out on the will of God. We all believe that there is a decree that's taken place that will be fulfilled. Nothing can stop it. And God said to Jeremiah, call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God's will was going to take place with or without Jeremiah. Okay. But there are times where we can forfeit the will of God because God calls us to pray. And even though he knows what we need, he says, pray. Right? I already know what you need. But why does he call us to pray if he already knows what we need? Now think about that. Now, it has to do with our relationship with him and walking with him. We're just praying. We sometimes feel that, Lord, only if you just write it on that wall, we'll do it. You know, but will we? Because there's a sense of fear. If the Lord does show us, there is a sense of fear that will perhaps overcome us. We perhaps won't understand it, but we'll feel perplexed because God's ways aren't our ways. Fear of making a big decision that may impact our whole life. You know, things can change like this. One moment, you know, everything's fine, we go, and all of a sudden, one decision just overturns everything. So fear is a big thing. In time, in I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Specifically in this context, he does talk about enemies coming and surrounding. And, you know, suddenly, sudden fear, unexpected. What Peter perhaps calls it, fiery trial. Yeah? Is there to try us, that brings about fear because it's a threat to our lives. And so in times of hardship, trouble, trials, perplexity, we are called to trust in the Lord. We are called to. It's something that we are supposed to do. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 is a comfort. I'd like to point out three things to remember when we face with fearful and uncertain times. And have a look at Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 5. Just three things tonight. I'll perhaps go a little bit over time. Just for the sake of the hour. You know. It's a big step to say, hey, listen, we're not going to rent anymore. We're not going to go and use government funding in such a... Not funding necessarily or government help facilities. We're going to venture out. We're going to trust the Lord in finding something that we can call home. What capacity, I don't know. But it's a step of faith. And, you know, it's a big decision. And it's going to change a lot of facets in ministry, which is fine. But what we've determined is we're no longer going to be governed under Pharaoh in that respect. If we're to apply it, with me personally, I've been having this great tension between, you know, what the government is imposing upon the church. Now you think about it, these COVID-19 safety rule restrictions, if they were just given to the church and no one else, you'd perhaps feel the pinch even more because you think, is this discrimination? But because it's covered, you know, in such a way, I believe anyway, with other restaurants and pubs and clubs and so, we don't feel, everyone's doing it, so we do it with them. But if not everyone were doing it and it was these restrictions were there, you can only have this many people sign in, sign out, wash your hands, you can't hug, elbow, you know, only elbow kind of things, you know, blow a kiss, you know, stuff like that. You know, you think, what is that? But because everybody's doing it and the whole world is doing it, then it's okay. We should just go ahead and do it. And so this is how the tension that I'm feeling, should we? You know, is the church equivalent to a pub, you know, or is the church of God the church of God? And if it is, Lord, how do you want us to live as Christians amongst this, you know, pandemic that we don't even know, you know, what's going on, or, you know, we don't know the full detail behind the scene, but we do know one thing is you're sovereign, you know the end from the beginning, and so we're going to trust you through this. But we cannot, one thing we have to remember in times of uncertainty is that we cannot trust the one that we don't know. The Bible says, trust in the Lord. And you see that many a times, trust in thee, the Lord. And so there's a person. So we're supposed to know the person of who we're trusting. And if, you know, we have to remember that. To know his, I want to give you perhaps several things. Number one, his power. His power. You know, God is able. You know, his wisdom is infinite. He's all-knowing. Knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going on. We don't. He does. Psalm 139, we heard it on Friday night. God knows everything. And he sees through the darkness. Nothing is, you know, hid from God. He knows everything. And so that's comfort. I don't know about you, but I'm trusting the God that knows all things. God knows all things. There is to know. God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows the end from the beginning. Amy Carmichael once said, we cannot be vanquished if the Lord of hosts be with us. We follow an undefeated leader. And that's true. So we're supposed to know his person regarding his power, but also his path, his ways, in other words. His ways are complete, they're perfect. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. A.W. Tozer said, faith reposes on the character of God. And if we believe that God is perfect, we must conclude that his ways are perfect also. And that's true. But not only we know his power, his path, but also his promise. His word is true and never changes. We have a God that doesn't go back at his word. And Psalm 119, 160, thy word is true from the beginning. Every one of thy righteous judgment endures forever. Psalm 119, 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Malachi 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has always kept his word and will always keep his word. I know his person, but also his passion. You know, he's a wonderful creator. He has unfailing, amazing love and is not against us. Listen, he is for us. I love what Paul says. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? I love this verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Look at this. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God didn't withhold his son, why would he withhold anything else that is good for his body or for his church? Why would he do that? He won't do that. He gave us the greatest, heaven's best. So why would he refrain from giving us anything else that we ask that is according to his will? Another thing to remember is not only know his person, but live by his principle. Look at this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And the psalmist said it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, isn't it? Even our own legs. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We trusted the Lord with our own soul for salvation, right? We trusted God, like Paul the Apostle said, he has committed his soul to the Lord, and he's able to commit that which he's committed. The Lord is able to, keep that which he's committed unto him. So we've trusted our soul with the care of God's keeping. So why not trust every decision, every step, every thought, everything, just everything, finances, talents, property, everything to the Lord. Lord, it's yours. Freely take it. Do what you want with it. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, every area, every aspect. But it says with all our hearts. The thing that cripples us is fear and doubt. Fear and doubt. That's what cripples us. Spurgeon said, many believers choose to live in the cottage of doubt instead of the mansion of faith. Faith is the victory. We sing it. We have to continue to maintain what we sing to the Lord. It is victory, Lord. I trust you with all my heart. You have never let me down, and you will never let me down. With all my heart. Trusting the Lord has several elements. It means to be dependent upon, to rely on, to put confidence in. This specific thing, trusting the Lord means to wait on the Lord. Amen. To wait. Because when you wait on the Lord, means you're trusting the Lord. If you go ahead of God, means you want to go and try to do things your own way, manipulate things, make it work. If you delay, and you don't simply obey, that's what delay is, right? The Lord says, come on now, take the next step. But we can go ahead of the Lord sometimes. Because you know what? That gives us control. We kind of want control. We want to know things now. That's why we want it written on the wall. But God is not in a hurry. As much as we feel like we need this to happen straight away, certain times God is wanting us to wait on him. And the psalmist said, wait on the Lord and keep his way. Wait on the Lord. When we wait on the Lord, it proves we trust him. When we wait on the Lord, it demonstrates that we are secure in him, not insecure. When we wait on the Lord, the Bible promises that he will strengthen us. It says, they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. But also, trusting the Lord means that we obey him. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Psalm 37, verse 4. 34. And so, let me just say this to you. While we wait, while we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, we're supposed to do what we know to do. Why would God ever take us seriously with our prayers, our concerns, and what we put forward to him if we're not even caring about what he has already revealed? We must fervently do what God has already revealed to us to do while we wait. That's trusting the Lord with all our heart. We can't just sit around and say, okay, I'm waiting. What are you going to do? No, we must continue to do what God has called us to do while we wait on the Lord. And we do it fervently. And we do it with a heart that is passionate about what he's passionate about. You know what? The Great Commission is still the Great Commission. With or without a building. We still need to maintain the Great Commission and be a witness. You know what David while he was crying out to the Lord, asking the Lord for help. You know, he did at least three things in Psalm 62. You want to turn to Psalm 62, but leave your finger there in Proverbs 3. Psalm 61, sorry. He did at least three things in Psalm 61. Number one, he made a personal decision to trust God. He said, I will, in verse 4. I will trust in the covert of his wings, of thy wings. Number two, he praised God. Look at verse 8. He says, so I will sing praise unto thy name forever. And number three, he performed his responsibilities that I may daily perform my vows. What was taking place? He was overwhelmed. Look at verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is what? Overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from who? From the enemy. Three things. He chose to put his trust in the Lord like he did aforetime. And he continued to praise God. And he continued to perform his responsibilities. While he was what? Overwhelmed. You can be overwhelmed, but when you're depressed and you're down and you're out, you're ineffective. Yeah, you can get down, you can get out, and you can be rendered useless. And at times when we're down and out, we need the Lord to pick us up. And if we're humbled before the hand of God, under the hand of God, and he will lift us up in due time, we're supposed to continue to trust him, and we're supposed to continue to praise him, and supposed to continue to perform our responsibilities, not neglect them. Not neglect them. And it's with all our heart. Remember, we cannot be half-hearted or double-minded. We cannot be half-hearted or double-minded when we're trusting the Lord. There's no middle ground, by the way, when we seek God. You're either trusting God or you're not. There's no middle ground. And one of the reasons James instructs us to ask for wisdom by faith, because we're tossed to and fro, double-minded man, if we're not asking God for wisdom by faith. We're double-minded. We either trust that God is going to give us his wisdom liberally, and by the way, he will. He will give it to us. He will lead us. And I know he will in his time. I know he will. You know, he granted Solomon wisdom because Solomon realized that he lacked wisdom. And if any man lack wisdom, listen, we lack. We lack, especially in the uncertainties. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows all things. God knows details. We don't. We lack wisdom. Wisdom is not only, you know, storing up knowledge. Listen, wisdom is also knowing what's God's heart is. What's God's heart in this? What does God want us to do? You know, I need God to be in this, by the way. If God is not in this, then we're done. We need God to be in this, especially with what's going on today. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with what? With all your heart. All your heart. There ought to be a trusting and seeking with all our hearts. That's very important. There's a desperation of seeking the will of God and trusting the will of God and wanting to know the heart of God in every area of our life. In verse 5, and lean not unto thy own understanding. You know, a person's own understanding is foolishness compared to God's. Proverbs 26:12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit, there is more hope of a fool than of him. And that's a bit of convicting. Because when you look at the book of Proverbs and you see what the make of a fool is, and then you see someone that wants to live their life in their own wisdom and understanding, you're worse than a fool. You know, because you're leaning on the worst thing that could ever happen to us is when we allow our wisdom, emotions, feelings to lead us. One of the worst things that can ever happen to us, when we're led by emotion, when we're led by feelings, when we're led by our own thinking and understanding, So we're seeing, by the way, it can happen very easily. We can be led by emotions and feelings so easily. We do it naturally. This is where we default. This is why the word is full of instruction not to go down that way. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, you know it. The heart is what? Deceitful. Above all things, listen, you better believe that when he says that, that our heart can deceive us. It can lead us astray. It also goes on, it's desperately what? Wicked. Proverbs 28, verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Let me give you a few reasons why it's better to trust in the Lord and not unto our own understanding. Number one, God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours. They're higher than ours. You cannot compare it. Sometimes what you think is supposed to happen is not what God believes it should happen. That's why we need God's heart in this, God's way in this, God's understanding in this, God's wisdom in this. Because some things, listen, just don't make sense. And they're not always supposed to make sense when you're living by faith. Number two, it's better because God's ways is peaceable. It's peaceable. Proverbs 21, verse 15, good understanding giveth favor. But the way of the transgressor is what? Hard. God's way at the end of that is peace. Peace. Number three, God knows best. That's why it's better to put trust in God than our own feeling on it, because he knows best. He really does. There is no wisdom nor understanding or counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared in the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. He knows best. And then it says here in verse 6, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. To acknowledge the Lord does not mean you're actually letting the Lord know what you're going to do, and you're saying, I need your stamp of approval here. I've got it worked out, and now I need you to put a rubber stamp saying, approved. Can I just say this? Praying is not an avenue where we get to bend God's hand to get him to do what we want to do. That's, name it and claim it, faith ministry. You know what John says? John makes it very clear. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know, every time when Jesus says, pray believing, pray and you receive it, he's obviously talking that it has to be according to his will. Obviously. If you trace his whole teaching, he's not trying to get you to pray for something that it's outside of God's will. As a matter of fact, in the pattern prayer that he taught his disciples, we see it very clearly that he wants them to pray according to his will, as it is in heaven. And so we understand that when we pray, we're not asking and saying, God, do this. We're asking and saying, God, what do you want to be done? And if I already know, then I pray according to that will with confidence. But if I don't know, then I ask, Lord, what is it you want for us to do in this area? Please, show us, lead us, guide us. And then if we know, then we ask and say, Lord, do this according to thy will. Because we know his will in this area. Now, is it God's will that for us to be able to meet as a church and gather together and break bread and continue to fulfill the Great Commission and reach others also? Of course it is. We know that that's God's will. It's very clear. But we don't know, the location of where and property buying this. We don't. We're perplexed about this. How's it going to work? Where? When? Finances, this, that. Well, the Lord will show us. And the Lord will lead and he'll guide. And so we need not to worry in that sense. We need to acknowledge him. And so, Lord, you need to lead us along. And he will. And praise God for that. Can I just say this? not every opportunity means it's from God. We might come to certain places and something might pop up and there he is. Look, it's got to be him. And it's somewhere over there tending to sheep. I'm not saying it has to work always that way, right? But it could possibly be that way. Or it could be, mate, here it is and it is. We don't know. But God knows. But you know what? It's not going to be like vague to us. The Lord will make it known if we acknowledge him. And we'll be unified in it. We'll be one. I believe that with all my heart. Opportunities come and go. But the main thing is God. Is this, is God in it? Is God in it? Because if God is not in it, my friend, forget it. No matter how good it is, no matter how prosperous your way may seem, if God is not in it, then forget it. The key is in all our ways. That includes little things. Sometimes we miss out of talking to God about the little things, don't we? Because we're more worried about the big things. Because there are those decisions that can change our lives. And it's true. But we need to be used to acknowledging the Lord in little matters as well. Amen? Let me just say this. How much care does God want you to cast upon him? All your cares. If it's care, if it's trouble, if it's bringing anxiety, if it's bringing some doubt, being perplexed, you need to cast it on the Lord. Don't try to deal with it. Don't try to work it out. Give it to God. Wait and watch the Lord as you pray. Work. And he will work. We have a God that is passionate about his will to be done and including us in it. He's for us, folks. We've got to remember our God. He's not against us. He's not working against us. Yeah, this is his church. This is his body. It's his body. You don't think God wants the best for his body or his bride? Of course he does. Of course. And the reason why he doesn't write it on the wall sometimes is because God wants to do a work in our hearts more than anything. Because that opportunity is for us to get closer to him and draw to him. Why does he want to bypass that process? God can give it to us like this. We were just doing a little devotion with the children the other day, talking about how God is, you know, has even the fish under his control. He put all those fishes in the net in order for it to break. You know, where do all those fish come from? They toiled all night. There was nothing. And it's true. There was nothing. How did God gather all those fish to go into that? No, he did. They obey him. How did he get that little coin from the fish's mouth? No, it's over there. That one there. Because he's God. He's the creator of all things. And then lastly, the last thing to remember when we face fearful and uncertain times is claim his promise. Claim his promise. He says here in verse 6, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Look at this. I love this. And he may be. No, he shall direct thy paths. That's a promise. And I'm going to claim it. If I do all these other things just mentioned, God's going to lead and God's going to guide and I'm going to trust that he will. It's not a matter of he might or he may. No, God shall, he will. God's not a man that he should lie. God keeps his word. Remember, know his person. God will not lead us astray. Now, God doesn't want to play games. He's not trying to ruin our lives. Not, you know, he's not a man that he should lie. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8. Notice Solomon's benediction here in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. Look at verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And it was a custom at times to pray also, not only on your knees, but to lift up holy hands. And he stood. And he blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying,